So happy to have with us right now a great friend and one of the best analysts you will hear and watch. His name is Dan Dierdorf. He is the pride of Canton, Ohio. He will be on the call with Greg Gumbel for CBS in Sunday's game between the Browns and the Giants. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
Doing great. And, Dan, I know this is special for you because growing up in Northeast Ohio, you follow this team very closely. I know you pay attention to them even when you're not assigned to them. But now that you have one of their games, just your thoughts on a Browns team that is so young, that's brought in a lot of new faces. What are your impressions?
Well, you know, that's the first thing that strikes you is how young they are. What, didn't they start six rookies on opening day? I mean, that is and at critical positions, not just in positions where you can, you know, sneak them into the rocking chair and surround them with veterans. And, you know, quarterback, running back, receiver, all over the place. So it's that was my first impression. My second impression was that they play hard. They play with effort. I know that all that matters is the record, and the record is what it is. But is there a reason for optimism when you look at the Browns and the way they compete? Yes, I would say so.
And, Dan, you know, starting with that quarterback position, Brandon Whedon, I mean, that's the one that obviously gets not only the most attention, but it's the one where I think week to week you're looking for signs of where this will go and what you can envision. And it seems to me that you're right. 0-4 doesn't speak well of anyone's performance. But after Thursday night's game against the Ravens, I thought the second half of that game was as much a turning point for Brandon Whedon as almost any game he's played, pretty much any of the other three games he's played.
Well, first of all, that game was in Baltimore, okay? I have done a lot of games in Baltimore, and I have seen a lot of offensive teams embarrass themselves by how badly they were mauled by the Ravens at home. That might be one of the toughest places to win in the National Football League. And I have seen teams just get humiliated trying to play football in there. And the Browns were anything but that. They were competitive. I thought physically they stood toe to toe with the Ravens and were willing to get involved in a fist fight, if you want to use that term.
Right.
And I think that really bodes well for the Browns. And I think your assessment of Whedon is right on. I thought he showed poise. There was no sign of panic, and again, you're with a young team like this. This isn't a playoff football team. You're just looking for something to hang your hat on. You're looking for some signs of optimism, and I think you see some with this team.
And a real special player, of course, is Trent Richardson, a guy who looks to be perhaps, arguably, one of the better running backs in the NFL already, just on his sheer talent, the compact body, but also the explosiveness and strength that he has and that ability to find things, the instincts that he shows. We saw that at Alabama, but we're definitely seeing signs of that in the NFL. And again, against the Ravens, it looked like he, too, was taking more forward steps. It's also helpful that he's as healthy as he's been after that preseason knee surgery.
Well, really, I mean, I think you got to keep in mind that you can't assess him. I think the real assessment of Richardson starts right around now. Having no preseason, it'd be one thing if he didn't have a preseason and he was perfectly healthy just sitting around. But he had no preseason because he was hurt, and of all things, he had knee surgery. So I agree with you. I every week he has improved. His lower body strength and his ability to shed tacklers, there's a little Earl Campbell in there in terms of from the waist down, what we're talking about with Richardson. But at the same time, he's got a burst. He's got the ability to make somebody miss. But he's a wonderful combination of the attributes you would like a running back to have. And he's got some good – he's a good receiver. He's got good receiving skills as well.
Dan Dierdorf, Pro Football Hall of Famer, a Canton native and CBS analyst. He'll be on the call with Greg Gumbel of Sunday's game between the Giants and the Browns. When you look at the Giants, Dan, and as an opponent, obviously formidable, and for the Browns' chances of trying to get that first win of the season, I mean, this task is pretty tall. And to do it on the road, we know what Eli Manning is all about, those wonderful targets he has to throw to. This is just a very talented team. So as you look at it and look at the Browns' defense, which also has a lot of youth, but playing well, how do you see that matchup?
Well, first of all, Eli's receiving corps, there's a question mark as to who's going to play for them and who's healthy and who's not. Nix is hurt. Barton suffered a concussion last week. I think there's a real question mark as to whether he's going to be able to play. But you're playing, and I talk about an overused word, elite. But I don't think there's any question. You're playing one of the top five quarterbacks in the game right now in Eli Manning. He is at the top of his game. He's everything you want in a quarterback, from a leadership perspective, his ability to make all the throws, his composure. Eli has really come into his own. To me, when I look at this game, I never get past the fact that every team in this league has pride. The Browns will play the Giants hard, and the Browns are more than capable of beating the Giants, even at the Meadowlands. So I know a lot of people just assume that you put this one in the bank for the Giants, that the Browns won't be competitive, and anyone who thinks that, I think, is very foolish.
No, that's an interesting perspective, and I'm with you, because this team does – the one thing you could say about this Browns team, it is playing better on the road than it does at home. That's been really a very pronounced trend since this team returned to Cleveland in 1999. But
right.
In particular – and we've seen it this year, even in losses, better played games and games that have more national attention as well, like that last Thursday night's game, they play better.
Well, and I don't want to denigrate the Giants in any way, but – this is not a juggernaut football team. Keep in mind, yes, they are the defending world champions, who were 9-7 in the regular season last year. So, you know, they played great football all the way through, and you know, some people say that they were fortunate. Well, you know what? The Giants won the games they had to win. But this isn't the 95 Dallas Cowboys, or this isn't one of the great 49er teams where you're just looking at a roster littered with future Hall of Fame football players. So are the Giants beatable? Of course they are. Are they two touchdown favorites? Yes, and deservedly so. But it's, again, this is not a game where the Browns have no chance of winning.
Dan,
I'm sure Tom Coughlin is telling that to his guys every minute of every day.
I have no doubt about that. Dan, you can speak to this so much better than anyone from a national perspective, because you have the local ties to Northeast Ohio. Last night, NFL Network aired an NFL Life. It focused on the 1995 Browns team, and you know that story quite well. And whether you see the documentary or not, you know the impact that it has had here in Northeast Ohio. A lot of people tune into it. But more than anything, I want your perspective, not so specifically so much on that year, but growing up a Browns fan and knowing this football team and knowing what it means to the fiber of this community, just your thoughts on and how people stay as loyal and as attached to this club as they do, still looking, hungering for that success that they have yet to get.
Well, I do have a unique perspective in the sense that I live in St. Louis, and I watched the team that I played for pack up and leave. So I have a sense of what it feels like from a community standpoint. But I also, you're right, I grew up a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. I could still name every starter on the 64 championship team. And I think that someone who lives in North Carolina or someone who lives in Iowa, they just don't understand the passion for football in the state of Ohio. And it starts at the high school level, you know, growing up in Canton with McKinley and Maslin and the rivalries up and down that state. You know, high school football in Ohio is nearly a religious experience. And that really, really grabbed gravitated all the way up to the Cleveland Browns. And when I grew up, when I was a kid, I've struggled to come up with the words in the way that we looked at the Browns players. I mean, they were large. To say they were larger than life falls woefully short. These guys were walking Hall of Fame busts to me. And so I understand, and I really can understand what it felt like for the people in Cleveland to have that franchise ripped away from them and move to Baltimore. And I understand why they've never gotten over it. It's a pain that won't go away for generations.
And they're excited now. Many of them are, Dan. But always, you know, wondering what the next thing is going to happen with a new owner coming into play, Jimmy Haslam, who will officially take over this team October 16th when the other NFL owners have their vote, and that's the expectation.
Right.
But it starts a new era, but I guess an exciting one for people who, you know, see someone who, by all indications, seems very passionate about football and seems to understand what the Browns mean to this community.
Well, you know, having ownership that wants to win is very critical, because you can make money in the National Football League without winning games. So, I think some people who own NFL teams have a stronger passion for winning than others. But I'm with you. With new ownership comes a new wave of optimism. I'm just sitting here at my desk doing some preparation for this game, and you know, I went back and looked at the Browns' record for like the last 10 or 11 years, and I go, oh wow. I mean, until I looked at it on paper, I didn't realize that it was as bad as it was and how many years the poor Browns fans had to suffer through 4, 5, and 6 win seasons.
Right.
So there's reason for optimism. It's not going to happen immediately, but again, I'd love to see the Browns stay on an upward track. They just got to win that first game and get the monkey off their back.
Dan, great stuff, and I look forward to seeing you Sunday in the Meadowlands, my friend.
Well, and I'll tell you one, Vic, one of the things I want to see, Jason Pierre-Paul and Joe Thomas. This is an all-world matchup between maybe the game's best defensive lineman and maybe the game's best offensive lineman. That's good stuff for me.
Yeah, a spotlight matchup that we can anticipate in that coverage for sure. All right, Dan. Thank you again, sir.
You got it, Vic. Anytime.
He is the one and only Dan Dierdorf joining us, the Hall of Famer, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.